Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Imperfect Wives Radio Show, inspiring women to fully experience the life God designed them to live. Find out more at theimperfectwives.com. Now your hosts, Rebecca and Cherie.
And welcome to Imperfect Wives Radio. You are listening live here with Cherie Zack on the East Coast in Beaufort, South Carolina, along with my co-host, Rebecca LeConte, who is joining us from San Diego. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hey, Cherie. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I was going to have you come in first instead of me, and then it forgot. I just forgot.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
To invite you to do that.
We're here together. That's what's important. I love it.
We
I
are.
I missed it last week.
Yes, I was about to say that. We did miss you. It was definitely different not having you on the other side of me. And but we had a great show with Shelley Hendricks. As you know, she is the founder of Church for Chicks. And she also wrote a book called Why Can't We Just Get Along? And it's about relationships, which is what we're talking about in this series, and why Shelley fits so perfectly within this season that we're doing. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the show, all you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio, the Imperfect Wives Radio. Actually, I was about to say The Imperfect Wives, but we're listed under Imperfect Wives Radio, and the archive is right there. You can also find us on iTunes. Just search iTunes, Imperfect Wives Radio, and we will pop right up, and then look for a special chat with Shelley Hendricks. I know that you're going to be blessed if you haven't already listened to that show, because she shared her heart and it was an incredible time in God's presence. She said some powerful things that got tweeted, Rebecca. The ladies were tweeting them everywhere.
That's awesome.
So,
I love it.
Yeah, sharing and tweeting. I love social media for that reason. I love that the world becomes just a little bit smaller through social media. You get to meet people you never would have been able to meet before, and share your heart and your stories, and scripture comes to life through social media, and I love it. So, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. God is good. Life is good. Our oldest is graduating from community college tomorrow with 4 associate's degrees, and it's the end of that chapter and moving to University of California, San Diego in the fall. So a little bit of celebration here at my house this week, which is so fun.
Yeah, I bet. We don't have anyone graduating from college or high school this year, so we are just status quo, continuing to move forward. But I know it is an exciting time for you guys.
It is, and it's kind of a relief, you know, as we get, you know, that push, whether it's exams or, you know, some big project that we've got that's not related to school, that last big push to get it done. You know all about that because you had that last week with your speaking conference there in South Carolina. And then the relief that sets in. He fell asleep on the couch yesterday when he got home from his last exam. And we just we covered him up with a blanket and left him there for a little while. So it's
good.
Bless
his heart. It is good. I mean, it's a sense of accomplishment. You look back and you realize everything that you accomplished, all of the hard work, all of the long hours, the midnight oil, the loads and loads of coffee and prayer that it takes to get you through that. And it is quite rewarding.
It is. Well, Cherie, can I say one more thing about it and then we'll move on?
Sure, of course.
The Lord is highlighting this to me because I know who I am and what my family has done, but maybe some of our listeners don't know. I'm a homeschool mom. When I'm not doing Imperfect Wives, I am educating our children. And so for me, this is especially sweet. So if you're a homeschool mom and you are wondering there in your home when you're by yourself with your kids if they are ever going to make it, if what you're doing is working, and are they actually going to have the tools that they need to go on and do the things that God has put in your heart as, you know, his dreams for them. I am here to tell you, yes, trust what the Lord is telling you to do. Be obedient to it, because he just is amazing. And I look at him, Sherry, I look at Nathaniel, and I look at all that we went through, because we homeschooled his whole career.
Rebecca? Oh, no. Did we actually lose Rebecca? This never happens. It's always Sherry that's lost, not Rebecca. We'll give her just a minute to come in. I know that I know she's excited about everything that's going on, and she wants to continue to encourage you this morning. And so hopefully, actually, she's showing that she is on the show. Maybe I'm the one that's off.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Imperfect Wives Radio Show, inspiring women to fully experience the life God designed them to live. Find out more at theimperfectwives.com. Now your hosts, Rebecca and Cherie.
God is so good, and we are grateful for the tech support from Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Bless her heart. Oh, goodness. Wasn't expecting that. Okay, so where were we when we got interrupted?
I think I was talking about how good God is and how, you know, we homeschooled Nathaniel. But let's keep moving. Oh, Cherie, I am so grateful for you. Ladies, what you do not know is Cherie's behind the scenes, and I can just hear her fingers flying as she's talking with tech support and explaining everything. And so, Cherie, great job. You just did an awesome job explaining it and convincing them to restart the show for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. That's what the producer does, right?
That is right.
I am learning more and more about Blog Talk Radio than I ever thought I would. I could actually work for them at this point.
you earned your
in
money
all
today.
Honesty. Pardon?
I said you earned your money today.
Wish there was money. All right. So
sorry.
You're fine. We are continuing our series, our relationship series. We started with the relationship of David, King David, and Saul. And Samuel, that was the foundation that we began on, and we went from there to David, or King David, and his wives, and talked about their relationships. And then, oh goodness, I forgot where we went from there. It's
we're a little
just incredible morning.
Well, we talked about Hannah and Elkanah and their son Samuel. We've talked about Jacob and Rachel and Leah. I think that was the last one we did before Shelley Hendricks was on with you last week.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Shelley, who brought us into a relationship, you know, that is within today's culture. And talking about women and connecting with each other and the struggles that we face, and then our marriages as well. So today we are talking about Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. And this is an exciting study, Rebecca.
It is. You know, we think everything with the Lord is exciting. I think people probably laugh at us, but that's okay. Laugh at us. We are happy to be this excited about the Lord and his word and all that he does for us, because that is really the only way you get to live life, is if you're living it through Jesus. But here we are. The description, maybe the description caught your eye today. Do you ever feel like you and your husband are Mr. and Mrs. Average, or like your life is just so normal that nothing truly exceptional will ever happen to you? You know, maybe you answered yes to one of those questions, and so you're here with us, and we want to talk about how God can take just an ordinary couple and do some really extraordinary things when they surrender to Him. And Sheree, are you there?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Let me tell you what. Anytime I hear a silence, now I'm a little like, are
I'm
we
so
really
sorry.
All together? No, it's all right. So, you know, the book of Ruth isn't very long. It's 4 short chapters. You can sit down and read it in probably 30 minutes or less. But it's a really powerful story of how God can take an ordinary young woman whose life just seems like it's kind of falling apart if you join her at the beginning and turn it into an extraordinary life because she cooperated with Him. And that's amazing. So if you ever feel like you're just plain old you and, you know, that's just where you are, you need to think about Ruth. You need to look at her story and see what God can do in a life that is surrendered to Him. And the other thing is, Boaz, he wasn't really a superstar either. He was wealthy, and he was a person who was prominent in that small community, but he wasn't, you know, a big fish in a big pond. He was certainly somebody who would be considered pretty ordinary as well. And I just think that's kind of neat because, Sheree, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel kind of ordinary, plain vanilla.
Yeah. I do too. Plain vanilla? I think I'm more like French vanilla. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I feel ordinary, and then God will shine His light on me in a way that I wasn't expecting. And then I sometimes feel a little bit awesome and a little bit extraordinary. So,
which is good.
Yes.
Which is good.
Because we're not ordinary.
We're not, especially when we let God get a hold of us. It's Him that makes the difference, I think. But you're a little bit awesome is coming from your speaker's conference, which I haven't had a chance to hear about yet. So,
but you
are. I'm excited to hear about it.
Yes, and we're Ruth and Naomi were facing a situation where neither of them felt even a tad bit awesome, you know. And I love how God just He pieces words together throughout our day. We think that there are situations in our life that one situation has nothing to do with another, and yet when God's in it, it all flows together. And I love that about Him. And it made me, as I was going through this conference and then, you know, was looking at the notes for the show and going through the scriptures, and I thought, wow, they were thinking that they weren't a little bit awesome. They weren't thinking extraordinary. They weren't thinking anything, in fact. I feel like Naomi had given up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She had really given up. And, you know, we have the benefit of seeing the end. You know, we know the end, but they didn't have the benefit of knowing how it was all going to turn out. And that's where we are in our own lives, that we don't really know. We know that we're just going to put one foot in front of the next, and we're trusting God for the outcome. But there are spiritually significant things that happen in our lives,
right.
And maybe we don't really get it in the moment, but we can look back later and see that was a pivotal point in our life. That was something that God used to change course, maybe even turn us 180 degrees, really get us going where He wanted us to be. And that's what happened when Ruth made that decision to follow Naomi, despite Naomi's best efforts to let her stay in Moab. Ruth repetitively said, no, I'm going to go with you. And Sheree, you were talking about what stood out to you in that passage. But you know what? We have not prayed, and I really think we need to stop and pray.
No, we haven't. Yeah, go ahead and pray. That's what happens when you get a glitch. So go ahead.
Okay. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we love you so much. You are so good to us. And we thank you for making a way with Blog Talk Radio this morning where we couldn't do it ourselves, but you intervened. You gave us favor with that person at the help desk, and they got it reset for us. And so, Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, we're also so grateful for our friends who stayed in the chat room with us, who hung in there and waited for things to get fixed. And, Lord, we just ask that you pour out a special blessing on them, Lord, for their faithfulness to you and to us, to support us and encourage us. Lord, we're so grateful for their friendship. And, Lord, for our audience who's listening later, Lord, we ask you to bless them too, that this time in your word would be powerful in their lives, that today would be a day of spiritual significance, a turning point where you show them something that you are going to do for them. Show them something new and fresh, Lord, reveal one of the surprises that you have in store for them along their journey. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we surrender the rest of this time to you. We say, have your way in us, and we trust you for the outcome because we know it's going to be good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Now we can start.
Now we can start.
Now we can start. All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, we're in Ruth. Ruth is sandwiched in there. If you haven't turned there in your Bible yet, you should probably get there. It's sandwiched in between Judges and 1 Samuel, and it's really just like 6 or 8 pages in my Bible. So it's you got to know where you're looking if you're going to find it, because you're probably not going to find it just flipping through. But, you know, Ruth could never have dreamed that she was going to be in the lineage of the Messiah.
Right.
God knew, though. And he made a way for that to happen. And I love that he's tucked her in there. You know, just another little signpost that although we may not be Jewish by birth, that he has a plan and that his love and his provision and his welcoming into his family spans the entire world, which I love. I'm so glad he did that. You know, you may very well be on the verge of an event that is spiritually significant. You may be in the middle of one right now. And what you need to do is what we see Naomi and Ruth and Boaz do, and we're going to talk about. They listened and they were obedient. They didn't understand how it was all going to fit together, but they just did what they felt like they were supposed to do. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is that they were prepared. We're going to talk about through this broadcast and at the end some character traits that we see in Ruth and Boaz that helped them to more easily cooperate with God's plan because they had character traits that we see in Jesus. So I love that. I love that he, the Lord is weaving that those things through. But Cherie, you were talking about how much you loved like starting in Ruth chapter 1:17, that passage really spoke to your heart. Do you want to talk about that?
Just for a moment, because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
But I love that, you know, that Ruth's heart was, I love what she says to Naomi in verse 16. And I'm reading King James, New King James Version. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Now, Rebecca, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. Those are pretty strong words.
Yes. They are.
Very
she was serious.
Words. She was very serious. And, you know, and they each had a choice. They could, well, in Naomi's mind, they didn't have a choice. Naomi told both the girls to leave and go back to their families. And Orpah did. She kissed her mother-in-law, and she went back to her family. But Ruth, the Bible says in verse 14 that Ruth clung to her. And we talked to so many women, you and I, throughout the Imperfect Wives, and one of the relationships that women struggle with the most today is the relationship with their mothers. And one of the things that I saw as I was reading this scripture with fresh eyes is that Ruth, though she had no ties, blood ties, to Naomi, though she did not have to go with her, she was released and could go back to her family. She chose to stay with her. And, you know, that her God, Naomi's God would be her God. Naomi's people would be her people. Basically, what she was saying is, I am grafted into your family and I am staying here. You are my family. And we talked to so many women, and they're struggling with their own relationship with their mothers. And their moms are their moms. They're, you know, blood tie mom, birthed from their mother, and yet it's so easy for us to walk away. And I felt it was important, you know, that this part of the story, of their story, is so important to us, because maybe we need to be tenacious, because she was quite tenacious. She was serious. And I was thinking about that, Rebecca, and I was thinking about the different people that God lined up to be within Jesus, his lineage, and I was thinking about the characteristics of each, and the one that always sticks out to me about Ruth is that she was tenacious. So God obviously loves tenacious people. So if you have that characteristic, be encouraged this morning, because God's going to use that in a profound way for you and your family. But I also want to encourage you that if you are struggling with your mom, that you will lay aside whatever those struggles are and give her an opportunity to love you the way she's been designed to, and love her back. Because just as Ruth didn't want to leave Naomi, we shouldn't want to leave our moms. And I'm not saying every situation is easy. For some of us, there's struggles and there's things to overcome. But if we're tenacious and we're willing, then God, I know that God can redeem, you know, that relationship.
Absolutely. He can. And he wants to. It's not just that he's able to, but he wants to. That's his desire. You know, and maybe you're finding yourself in a place right now where your circumstances seem dire, where they just seem like there is no way out. I'm sure Ruth and Naomi felt that. Here, all of the men in their family are dead, and they are left alone. And there's Ruth, no money, serving a God that is not the God that she grew up with. So that's new. And going to a foreign country. And, you know, she probably, I'm guessing, looked a little different than everybody else. They knew she was a foreigner just by looking at her. So she probably felt a little out of place, but she was convinced. She knew that she needed to maintain that relationship with Naomi, and she needed to do what this woman said. And I think that is just so important. So if you find yourself in those circumstances, turn to God. Go to someone, whether it's your mom or your mother-in-law, an older woman, you know, maybe someone who's just older in their faith, maybe not necessarily old enough to be your mom, but somebody who's more mature. Go to that person and ask for help. Ask for their wisdom, their direction, their guidance. Because God wants to use us as sisters in Christ, it's part of the body, to bless and encourage and help one another.
Amen. I love that. You know, I'd like to know, you know, my little mind, the way it works. I always, whenever I read this story, I always want to know, well, you know, what was the end of, you know, of her other daughter's story? What happened to her, you know, to Orpah? What did she do? How was she received? Isn't that, I don't know, it's just the way my brain works. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a mystery. We'll know, Sheree, you and
one
I.
One day we'll know.
We'll know.
I pray she was blessed and that her life was good. You know, because she didn't make the wrong choice. I've heard some women say, well, Orpah didn't care or whatever. She didn't care about Naomi. I really don't think that's true. I think that Orpah was trying to honor her. I think she honored her by doing as she asked, you know, because that's what she was told to do. So I have a lot of respect for Orpah for that reason. And I pray I'm saying her name right. Okay.
Yes, you are. Good job. Good job. We're going to move into chapter 2, and that's where we first see Boaz. And he's described in the Message version of the Bible as a prominent and rich relative on Elimelech's side. That's Naomi's deceased husband. And we read there how Boaz noticed Ruth right away and had favor for her immediately. He told her, don't go into any other field. See, God orchestrates and directs our path every step we take, just like the word says. He got Ruth into Boaz's section of the field. He told her, stay in my field, go with my young women, so you'll be safe because you'll be in a group with my young women who know what to do. He gives his servants the order, the laborers who are there harvesting the grain, not to harm her. And then he also gives her permission to help herself to the water that the servants had brought, so she doesn't have to go and figure out how to get water. You know, it's hot where they are, and they're out working in the sun with no shade in that field. And he is providing for her that her need for the moment with water and protection, and he's providing for her needs in the future as she's gathering the leftovers so that she can go home and she and Naomi can have food to eat.
And I love how God shined a light on her. You know, he walks in to check on his workers and to see what they're doing in the field, and he sees her and he says in verse 5, whose young woman is this? Now, how many women are in there?
A bunch.
How many are in the field? There's a lot, and yet God highlights Ruth. You know, I love that. How many times has he highlighted us and we don't even know it? Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Well, then what he does is he speaks a blessing
right
over her. And, he's being generous with her. And then he feeds her lunch, so much so that she has enough to have leftovers that she takes home to Naomi to share. And just that special treatment, you know, she gets special treatment, and she ends up, you know, collecting more grain in the afternoon, I think, than she did in the morning, because she goes home with almost a full sack of barley, which, of course, was far more than she expected or Naomi would have been expecting her to come home with. And I just love that. And that is Naomi's first sign that Boaz is God's provision for them, the covenant redeemer, or kinsman redeemer, depends on which translation you look at. How neat is that?
It is, it is. I do love their story. I didn't, you know, so many women gravitate to this story, those that are not married yet, and you read a lot, especially on Facebook, now that we have social media, where it is today, and you will see a post from single friends, and it says, I'm waiting for my Boaz. I am praying for my Boaz. By the time I came into reading this story, their story, I had already married Bill, and so I haven't quite seen it from their point of view, if that makes sense. I tend to glean from just the story itself. But I do understand that everyone wants a Boaz. Who doesn't want someone who is a covenant redeemer? You know, who doesn't want a man that is going to that they're spotlighted to? Because I kind of feel like that maybe Ruth didn't capture his heart, but she definitely captured his attention at that moment. And at that moment is when everything began to come into play. The story that God had written was now, was now unfolding. And their lives were now set in this area. So it's a great relationship. It's a really great relationship. I understand. I want to capture Bill, Rebecca. I want to capture his heart. I want to capture his eyes. I want him to be caught off guard by my presence. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
You know, I look for those moments. And, you know, she wasn't looking for those moments. So maybe I need to stop looking for them and just, you know, just wait as they happen. But, you know, maybe you didn't see yourself in this story as you're listening with us this morning and as you're reading. Maybe you're starting to see yourself now, though, and we hope that you're getting encouraged.
Yeah.
Because God definitely wants to encourage us this morning, even with all the technical difficulties. So
yes.
We have 15 minutes left, and we're getting into the goodness.
We are. You know, time passes. You know, at the end of chapter 2, Cherie, we see that Ruth, she stayed with Boaz's young women, and she gleaned in the fields every day until the barley and the wheat harvests were done. And then it says she continued living with Naomi. So she's so there's a passage of time. And then Naomi says to Ruth, in the message it says, "My dear daughter, isn't it about time I arranged a good home for you so you can have a happy life? And isn't Boaz our close relative, the one with whose young women you've been working? Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night of Boaz's barley harvest at the threshing floor. Take a bath, put on some perfume, get all dressed up, and go to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until the party is well underway and he's had plenty of food and drink. When you see him slipping off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there. Lie at his feet to let him know that you are available to him for marriage. Then wait and see what he says. He'll tell you what to do." And I love this, Cherie. I love it because Naomi, with the benefit of her years of wisdom and experience and her knowledge of how their culture and their laws worked, knew what to do. And Ruth, instead of arguing, instead of wondering, she just does what Naomi tells her to do. She really does have a teachable heart. She's humble and able to receive that wisdom. And then she moves on it. And, you know, we know the rest of the story, but, you know, she made herself available. And that's a really good lesson for us. Are we available? Even if you're already married, are you available to your husband? Does he know that you're just waiting for him to tell you what to do, whether it's, you know, let's go for a walk, let's go out to dinner, let's just spend some time together, you know, whatever. But does he know that you're waiting for him to take the lead and that he knows your heart toward him is good?
There's another aspect to this as well between Naomi and Ruth. When you go back to chapter 1 and you start at verse 16, and we read this at the beginning, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge," and, you know, and so forth. Ruth created a covenant with Naomi. And she has seen that covenant through. She may not have realized, Rebecca, that's what she was doing, but when she created that covenant with her, and she took God, Naomi's God, as her God, and Naomi's people as her people, she is literally walking out that covenant. So the pliable heart, the teachable spirit, all of that is because she meant what she said when her little tenacious self said, you know, "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried." And I love the very last thing she said. If she says, "The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me."
Yes.
She meant it. And we see throughout her story that she meant it. She hasn't fussed. She hasn't told Naomi, "No, you're wrong." You know, she has done exactly what she said. She really meant what she said, and I love that about her.
Yep.
And I love that you're saying, "Are you available to your husband?" Bill came into the, I was in my prayer closet, which is my bathroom, and Bill was watching the telly in the living room, and he had, I heard his feet coming in to our bedroom, so I knew he was coming, and he came in, and he saw that I was praying, and he said, "I'm sorry, but I was actually, you know, getting towards the end of my prayer time," and I told him, "No, it's okay, because God said those very words, 'Cherie, are you going to be available to him?'" And he had something heavy on his heart that he wanted to talk about, and I made myself available instantly. Because, you know, when God speaks, it's very quick. You get it in a moment, in a second, in a millisecond.
Right.
It doesn't take God an hour to tell you what he wants you to do. It only takes him literally a second. And so you didn't have a chance to hear that story yet, but I thought that was, this is confirmation, you know, that when we avail ourselves to our husbands, it's really important that we do, because they do need that time with us.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm looking for, I'm reading it in the message, and it doesn't have the verses, so bear with me. But back in chapter 2, talking about that protection, it's Boaz is speaking to Ruth when they've just met, and he says, God reward you well for what you've done, and with a generous bonus besides from God, to whom you've come seeking protection under his wings. And then they're having this conversation later on the threshing room floor. And he says, oh, where is it now? I can't find it. Oh, I love live radio. So good.
I am trying to find it with you, but I'm not 100% sure where you are, but I'm reading through.
But she talks about, he talks about being under, here it is. She says it. I am Ruth, your maiden. Take me under your protecting wing. You're my close relative, you know, in the circle of covenant redeemers. You do have the right to marry me. So there it is, that imagery of you're seeking protection under God's wing. And she says, now, not only that, but I want you to be that human form of God's protection.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you don't feel like your husband is that person for you. And maybe that really makes you feel sad, that you feel like, oh, this isn't what I want. This isn't what my heart is hungry for. So ask God. Cry out to him. Don't go to your husband and tell him all the ways he's not measuring up to what you want. Instead, go to God and cry out to him and ask him to change you, and ask him to change your husband's heart, that he would indeed, you know, be that protecting wing over you, and trust that God can do that in his heart for you. You're thinking, Sheree, I can hear it.
I am. I am. I'm so excited about the characteristics. So I keep, you know, when you're excited about something, your mind tends to go to that area.
Yes. So shall we quickly run through chapter 4? Because we got about 6 minutes left.
I think so.
Okay.
Boaz dealt with the other closer relative publicly. He offered him for the first chance to buy I never can say Elimelech's.
Good.
Did I say it right, Lynn?
You did.
I love this. Which he says he wants until he realizes that Ruth and providing heirs for that bloodline are part of the deal. There's an issue there, isn't there? Once that is clear, he gives Boaz the green light to move forward. But Boaz handled things officially with witnesses. I love that. Does that not speak of his character?
Right. Absolutely.
Boaz is a man of integrity. This is one of the areas we need to pray over for our husbands, that they will be men of integrity. He chooses to keep the name of the deceased alive along with his inheritance. He proclaims that his memory and reputation is not going to disappear from the family or the community. He doesn't just care, Rebecca, about himself. He cares about those that are around him. And he honors them. Honor is one of the words, besides tenacity with Ruth, but honor is one of the words, one of the characteristics that always leap at me when I read Boaz. Because he could have made a different choice. He could have had a spirit of pride, but he didn't. And I know you want to say something about that. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm so, you know, blown away by, he knew exactly what to do. And Naomi knows that. She says to Ruth, you know, sit back and relax, my dear daughter, until we find out how things turn out. This man isn't going to fool around. Mark my words, he's going to get everything wrapped up today. She knew, she had a sense of expectancy that Boaz was going to be a man of action, he was going to do it right, and it was going to be taken care of. And that is for sure what happened. And then, because he did it right, because he was doing something that was honorable, keep in mind that that first son that Boaz and Ruth would have would take the name of Elimelech's family and would be their heir and not his. So he was taking a risk because there was, number one, there was no guarantee that Ruth would be able to have children. And if she did have a son, there would be no guarantee that she could have a second one that would be his heir. So he is doing this very selfless thing. And the elders bless him. They say, and Ruth, to her, may you be like Rachel and Leah who built the family of Israel. Think about all those kids, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And they say to Boaz, may God make you like a pillar in Ephrathah and famous in Bethlehem. And those things sound huge. I'm sure to their ears, to their minds, that seemed so extravagant and beyond what they were capable of. But they had surrendered to the Lord, and his blessing was in those words, and that's exactly what came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it right. You know, they got married,
they did it right.
And then they had intimate relations, and then they conceived, and you can see Naomi, her hope was restored through that grandson, Obed. And in bearing that child, Ruth became eventually the great-grandmother of King David. How awesome is that?
Incredible. Yeah. And, you know, God wanted to use both Ruth and Naomi. And their story doesn't start here. It started, you know, before Ruth was even born. God could have chosen any mother-in-law for her, but he chose Naomi. And we shouldn't criticize Naomi. She was heartbroken. She had lost every member of her family, her husband and all of her sons. She had a lot to mourn. And when we enter into her story, this is what unfolds, is her season of mourning. You know, so I just want to encourage you that don't jump against Naomi. I hear that a lot, and it actually grieves my heart. Because if something like that was to happen to me, Rebecca, and I'm in a season of mourning, are people going to be mean to me?
Right.
You know, or are they going to understand that this as well, you know, is a part of our walk with God? It is a trial, and she is responding to the trial, but Ruth is her hope.
Yes.
She doesn't realize it at the moment, but God has placed Ruth in her life to bring her hope. And then, as you said, in the end, this is what we see. Okay, so it's 10:58. We have 1 minute. Do you want to go over the characteristics real quick?
You know what I want to do, Sheree? I just want to put them in a post on our blog. Mm-hmm. So if you want to find them, check back later today at www.theimperfectwives.com, and you'll see a post where we outline the character traits in Ruth and Boaz available and more able to cooperate with God. And that took them from just Mr. and Mrs. Average to Mr. and Mrs. Extraordinary, which I love.
Extraordinary. Just when you think that there's nothing extraordinary about you, if you look at it from their perspective, you will find it. Thank you so much for joining us for this kind of crazy show. We got caught off the first 30-something minutes of it, but we're thankful that you've joined us. We pray that it all makes sense since we had to run through it so quickly. We are writing a book about it, so you'll get to more in depth when that comes out. But for today, we pray that you have a great day, and you'll join us again next week where we'll have a full show. And we'll see you then. Everyone have a great week. Bye.
Bye, guys.